Would you like to put an exclamation point at the end of your week? The message from Dr. Wilton will help us all do that next. Strengthening our prayer and our faith. Literally like going to the gym for the next few minutes as we open God's Word at John 15. That's right, the book of John, chapter 15, with Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author and evangelist, as he takes us inside these two tools of prayer and faith. Actually, one that strengthens the other and one that builds us up to allow us to accomplish things that we never thought possible. As we study God's Word together today, we want you to know that we're available both online at our website, theencouragingword.org, and also at the end of this phone number, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to connect anytime to talk, to listen, to pray. Just know we are here for you.
Take your Bibles this morning and turn to one of the most remarkable of all passages, John chapter 15. Turn in your Bibles with me to John's Gospel and chapter 15. Prayer is a remarkable, remarkable blessing that God has given to us. Dr. Keith Cox was talking about blessings. I believe that there are going to be many people who are going to arrive in heaven and find a box filled with untapped blessings. And one of those is going to be the privilege and the blessing of prayer, of talking to the Lord. Have you got something to talk to Him about today? How do you talk to the Lord? What is this thing? Where do we go? Who do we turn to? How do we turn to where we turn to? God has given to us the most wonderful, wonderful blessing of life. And He has invited us by faith to talk to Him. By faith. Now, friends, I'm going to read a passage of Scripture to you today, and I'm going to show you something remarkable. Now, I want you to know that in John chapter 15, Jesus Christ is speaking. He's talking to people like you and me. Listen to what He says. I'm going to focus on verse 7, but I want to put it into context. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does not bear fruit, He prunes, so that it will become even more fruitful. You are already clean because the word I have spoken to you, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself." Folks, watch me. Listen. You cannot do these things by yourself. You will not cope by yourself. Now listen to what the Lord Jesus says. He says, "No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine," Jesus said. "You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." May the Lord write His word upon our hearts. I believe with all my heart that amongst many other things, that our Lord Jesus Christ here was laying down the ground rules of operation. God here in His infinite wisdom was laying down the methodology, the manner, giving to us the wherewithal by which we can become connected into the heart of a God who loves us so much. How do we understand these things? Well, if we're going to try to understand what prayer and faith is all about, there are a number of things we need to note here. Number one, I want you to note the candor with which Jesus speaks. The candor with which Jesus speaks. If you go through this passage and this entire section here in the Gospel of John, there is an unbelievable candor with which Jesus speaks to those that he loves so much. He speaks candidly, straightforwardly. There is a sense in which if he was talking to me now directly, he would be saying to me, "Don Wilton, my son, please take a seat. Sit down. Sit. Well, now, Lord, if you don't mind, I just, you know, I'm restless. Would you sit down?" And so there is a sense in which you can see God's children seated together around the feet of the Savior. And it is at this juncture that the Lord Jesus looks into the heart of every disciple and he begins to speak with great candor. He begins to speak directly to our hearts and to our lives. He as it were, begins to zero in right there to the point of our greatest need. And God begins to say something to our hearts, and he begins to talk to us in a manner perhaps like we've never been talked to before. And I believe that if we're going to understand the fundamental principles upon which prayer and faith rest, we must understand the candor with which Jesus speaks. Why would he do so? Why is he so direct? Let me give you a couple of suggestions. Number one, because he knows us. He knows us. He knows about our restlessness. He knows about our struggles. He knows about our grief. He knows how we battle to cope. He knows about our consternation. But not only does he know us, but he loves us. I love that, don't you? Just loves us. Folks, there are times in our lives we've got to sit down and we've got to pay attention because God is speaking to us, because he knows us and because he loves us and also because he wants the very best for us. That's why he speaks with such candor. Don't you think? If our Heavenly Father is concerned about the sparrows of the air, that he would love those of us that he has created in his own image. He's inviting us to talk to him by faith and to communicate and to connect into his heart. And he's saying, "Listen, this is what I want you to do, and I'm going to speak to you very candidly about this." So we must note the candor with which Jesus speaks. But I want you to note in the second place the condition which is laid down. Doesn't only speak with candor, but there is a condition that is laid down, and it's right there in chapter 15 and verse 7. He says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you," there is a twofold or a double-fold condition that God lays down for us related to this connectedness that he invites us to participate in. On the one hand, he says, "You must remain in me." Now that word "remain" there is a present continuum. In other words, what God is saying, look, you want to be connected into me, you need to be continually abiding in me and in my truth. And then in a parallel sense, not only must you remain in me, but I must remain in you. My words, what are the words of God? The words of God are the Lord Jesus Christ himself. What did John chapter 1 and verse 1 say? "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God." And what God is saying to us here, he's saying, "Listen, I want you to understand the condition regarding prayer and faith. I'm going to speak to you candidly. I'm going to speak to you directly because I know you and because I love you and because I want the very best for you. But don't let there be any mistake. You need to be abiding in me and my words need to be abiding and remaining in you."
The encouraging word will continue in just a few moments with Dr. Don as we continue to get connected online at theencouragingword.com. And speaking of connections, only three times in the last 10 years has Dr. Don asked me to share a musical element with you. It's going to happen coming up shortly.
The Encouraging Word.
Are you seeking or rejecting God? The proof of love is the investment of time. You already know God loves you. He sent his son to die on the cross for your sins so that you could be forgiven and free. But have you ever wondered how to love him in return? The Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. How do you do that? How do you practically live out that kind of love? This month, Dr. Don Wilton wants to help encourage and inspire you to pursue the God who is pursuing you in his message, Going After Jesus. Going After Jesus is available on CD or DVD for your gift of any amount today. Write to us at Post Office Box 2110, Spartanburg, South Carolina, 29304, or call us toll-free at 866-899-WORD, or visit online at theencouragingword.org. Thank you for your support. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry that broadcasts the good news of Jesus Christ around the world.
You see, this whole passage here is about fruit. About spiritual fruit. And spiritual fruit can pertain to so much of our Christian life, everything of our Christian life. It's witnessing, it's living for Christ, it's praying. Prayer and intercession is part of the fruit of our spiritual walk, that communion with God. Why is it fruit? Because there is a dialogue taking place, and because when we talk to God, God talks to us, and something comes of it. Fruit is the result of something, and prayer always produces a result. Well, if we're going to try to understand all of this, we need to note not only the candor with which Jesus speaks and the condition which is laid down, but we must also note the conviction with which we need to ask and talk to the Lord. Now, folks, I want you to note here, look at verse 7 with me. He says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, here it is, ask whatever you want and I'm going to give it to you. Now, notice he doesn't say here, why don't you sit down and decide whether or not you want to perhaps think about asking me for something? He says, do it. Great conviction here. Great conviction. He says, listen, go to the source, to the one who's able to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Have you ever found yourself, you wanted to do something and you knew the person who could do it for you, but you didn't want to go and ask them? And you wait and you wait, and boy, you get all turned upside down and your tummy churns all over the place and you're nervous and you go through months of anxiety, and finally you pluck up the courage and you go and see this man and you sit down and you say, Mr. Joe, yes, son, what is it? Well, you know, there's this girl I've got my eye on, and I tell you, I know there's one thing that's going to impress her. Man, could I borrow your BMW? And he says to you, son, hey, why didn't you come and ask me? Man, here are the keys, man. Listen, here's $50 to go and fill up the gas tank. And the next minute, here you are cruising down the road with a beautiful girl next to you. And boy, she's just so happy. And boy, everything has happened. And you're in the BMW and you're saying to yourself, dummy, why didn't you go and do this 6 months ago? I mean, all the agony you've put yourself through. There is a sense in which, folks, listen carefully. God has this box of blessings. It's there. It's for you. It's got your name on it. It's got my name on it. And the Lord is saying to people like you and me, saying, listen, those blessings are there for you. Ask me for it. He's talking here about, have some conviction about the fact that God will do what God says he'll do. Now, folks, listen. How do you have conviction? I'm going to give you a couple of suggestions, okay? All right, how do you cultivate conviction? Number one, by reading slowly. I saw all those people look at me. Say, now what in the... By reading slowly. Do you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there's at least one person worshiping with us today that the last time you read the Word of God was last Sunday, the same time. You know what I do many times? I read it. But I read it so quickly because I'm in such a hurry to do whatever it is I need to do that I don't have any time to develop any conviction about what I've read. Read it slowly. Number two, listen carefully. You want to cultivate conviction when it comes to prayer and faith? Listen carefully. Just listen, folks. You know why we struggle with that? Because there's so much else we're listening to. The noise in the world today is overwhelming, folks. Do you know that it is actually about 1 month away from becoming a constitutional matter in the United States that you are not allowed to be a teenager and have any form of quietness around you at all? ever. There's got to be noise. You've got to study with noise. You've got to ride the motor car with noise. You've got to have noise everywhere you go. It doesn't matter, just have noise. We've got to have some noise. Let everybody just know, it's got to be noise. You cannot be quiet. I mean, who said just be quiet? There's no such thing. That's old fashioned. I mean, that's kind of 50s kind of stuff. I mean, we don't do that. I need noise. And God is saying, excuse me, we're talking about conviction. Friend, listen, be still and know that I'm God. We don't know what that means anymore. How do you cultivate this conviction? By reading slowly His Word. Why? Because His Word must abide in you. By listening carefully. And number three, by doing deliberately. You see, friends, my obedience when it comes to prayer and faith is a deliberate action. I promise you this. Now, I'm going to confess. Young people, watch me. I do not, and my children will bear this out to you, I'm not one of those people who wakes up in the morning, falls out my bed and says, you know, I just think I'm going to go and read my Bible and have a prayer time now. When my feet hit the floor, I'm usually running to get somewhere because I'm one of those who sleep to the absolute last minute. Always in a hurry. Friend, listen, do deliberately. You've got to make a decision about these things. You've got to say, this is what God has put in my heart. Let's understand these things, the candor, the conviction, the conviction. But also understand the complication which arises. There's a great complication. It's in verse 8. He says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. And in the Greek text there in the second part of verse 8, what God is saying to us there, He is saying, when you tap into me as the greatest resource that you will ever have, you thereby, by virtue of your tapping in and by virtue of the expression that you receive from tapping in, you are going to become a public demonstration of what a disciple needs to be. Well, how do you show that you're a disciple? Let me give you four ways. Number one, by leaving. That's how you show you're a disciple. You've left. That's what repentance, it's a turning around. It's a going in the opposite direction. You have left. When He talks about showing yourself to be my disciples, He's talking about leaving. Number two, He's talking about loving. He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Number three, He's talking about living. Living for Him. My lifestyle, everything that I'm doing, what I say and how I do it and how I respond. He's talking about living. Number four, He's talking about leading. He's talking about being a fruit bearer. A fruit bearer is someone who provides something nutritious for somebody else. A fruit tree is not a selfish thing. A selfish fruit tree will only have rotten fruit lying around at its foot. A productive fruit tree will have fruit that everybody's able to eat from. And what Jesus is saying, He's saying, listen, why don't you just tap into me? And when you tap into me, you will receive a crown which will be worn. I'll give to you whatever it is that you're going to ask for. Now, folks, listen. The Lord loves us, and He loves you. And He says, talk to me, and I will answer you. I'm ready to have a conversation. And I'm ready to provide for your every need. Isn't that incredible?
Isn't it remarkable how sometimes the most simple instruction from the Lord, we fail to see that He is ready to have a conversation with us. You're listening to The Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton. And as I mentioned earlier, for the first time or maybe the third time in about 10 years, Dr. Don's asked me to share with you a bit of music from what Dr. Graham calls his Cliff Barrows. And that's Steve Skinner, our minister of music. He's going to sing a song that it's not a song you've probably heard before. It's a song called Moses. And it's from the first person of Moses and his interaction, his conversation with God. And as we're talking about prayer and faith, our pastor wanted to share this with you. It's really a sermon in song, a message about how we need to be like Moses.
Oh, Moses, way back there in the wilderness. mess. Saw some smoke, came to the bush, and the bush was burning. God said, take off your shoes, Moses, you're on holy ground. Moses, I've chosen you to be my man. Moses, way down in Egypt's land. Moses, I've chosen you to work for me. Moses, I've chosen you to set my people free. Don't you know I don't talk so good? I stutter all the time. Do you know my brother Aaron? He can sing like an angel and talk like a preacher. Not me, Lord. I can't talk so good. And how will they know that I've been here with you? How will they know what you sent me to do? Don't you know in Egypt they want little Moses' head? Don't you know in Egypt they want little Moses dead? You know they'll never hear a single word that I'll say. Maybe you better get your dirty work done another way. Not me, Lord. What's that in your hand, Moses? It's just a rod. Throw it down, Moses. Do you mean like on the ground? Yes, I said, throw it down, Moses. Lord, don't take my rod away from me. Don't you know it's my only security? Don't you know when you live here all alone, a man's gotta have something he can call his own? Not me, Lord. Throw it down. But, Lord, I... Throw it down, Moses. But, Lord, I... Throw it down, Moses.
Moses threw the rod on the ground, and the rod became a hissing snake. Well, Moses started running. Well, maybe you'd run. Well, maybe I'd run. He was running from a hot rod. Running from a hissing snake. He was running scared of what God's gonna do. Running scared he'd get a hold of you. And the Lord said, stop. Picking up Moses by the tail. Lived here very long, Lord. Why, you got the whole thing wrong. Don't you know that you never pick up a hissing snake by his pick it up, Moses?
Oh, God, it's a rod again. It's a rod again. It's a rod again.
say, Moses, the rod of Moses became the rod of God. With the rod of God, strike the rock, and the water will come. With the rod of God, part the waters of the sea. And with the rod of God, you can strike, O Pharaoh. What do you hold in your hand today? To what or to whom are you bound? Are you
song from our very own Steve Skinner, our minister of music here at The Encouraging Word. It's rather unique and unusual for us to include music here in the broadcast with our pastor's teaching, but oh, what a perfect song, that song called Moses, written by a wonderful friend of The Encouraging Word, Ken Miedema, and again sung by our own Steve Skinner. You know, when Moses gives that understanding both Moses' situation and how it applies to you and I, we can lay it down. What do you need to lay down? Is it something you'd like to pray with a brother or sister about? We're here for you at 866-899-WORD, and we'd love to pray with you in any way we possibly can to encourage you in your walk with Christ. Till next time, have a wonderful week.
The Encouraging